You're listening to Rocket Knight.
Yeah, yeah. Are you ready? I'm gonna take you to a place where lights live again. Bring your mother, your brother, and your best friend. I'm gonna show you where they dance out in the street. They'll tell you all about your body heat. Not gonna talk about it, just gonna do it. Get on down, if you feel up to it. Get on down.
This is Charisse with Rocket Knight, and today we are speaking with Sam Spade Morris of the Midnight Devils. Last year, they came out with So Hard It Hurts, so we'll talk about that. And they've been really busy touring a lot, especially in the UK, Australia, Europe. I met them in about 2021, right after COVID, and I thought it was about time that we catch up and see what you guys have been up to. Hey, Sam.
Hey, Charisse. How's it going? It's so good to be here. It's so good to see you again.
Yeah, I'm here. I'm here in sunny Florida. I guess you're in cold Nebraska, right?
Yeah, it just got cold this week. It's terrible now. It just like the light switch flicked and it's automatically freezing cold here. Yeah.
Wasn't there some kind of winter blast or something going on in the
forever and always? As soon as November hits, it'll be cold all the way till March.
Wow. Okay. That must be hard traveling too. I mean, I'm not
It does get scary. And so that's kind of why everybody in the Midwest kind of stops touring unless you're the hardcore of the hardcore. It does get really dangerous to travel with the roads and everything. So we just kind of, everybody kind of shuts down and enjoys the holidays anyways.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I just got back from the UK. So I wanted to talk about the UK a lot because since we cover music over there, after I met up with you guys in 2021, you guys started going over there to the UK a lot. And I guess you were going with Chip of Enough's Enough.
Yeah.
The first time was
with Chip right back in 2022, maybe. Mm-hmm. We did our record with Chip. He produced our second record called Never Beg For It. And then he goes, bro, you got to come over to Europe with us. And it was like this offer and we couldn't refuse it. It was our first time out of the country. And it was the trial by fire. Like, can you guys hang? Because touring in the States is one thing, but getting out into a different country, so many miles from home is a whole nother thing of wrapping your mind around it, dealing with the problems that come up and just enjoying it. And at the end of the day, that's the main thing is that you enjoy it. First time with Chips Enough. Unbelievable. The crowds were great. We met so many cool people. And we came back in 2023 with Pretty Boy Floyd, which was even better. And then this year we went with supporting Kicking Valentina, another American band.
And I know them well.
Shows were just packed. And it seemed like the idea that we had of just making it a yearly thing and coming back and doing it the old school way that bands used to do it. You put out a record and you tour and you support that record. It's paying off and it works. And you just kind of go out there and you touch as many people as you can, whether it's five or six, they'll come back to the next one.
Yeah, I saw you did a festival with Kickin' Valentina over in the UK. We started covering them maybe 2015, 2016. Mm-hmm. They're from Atlanta.
Yeah, what a great band. The mixture of Midnight Devils and Kickin' Valentina was such a powerhouse mix. And it's very rare that we're on a tour. We tour so much, but it's rare when we're on a tour with so much excitement where you wake up in the morning and you like open up Facebook and Instagram and everybody's talking about the big giant party we had the night before. And having two American bands it really pushed it over the edge of intensity, party, good vibration. Like the whole thing was just really, really cool. And a testament to them, they've been doing it. They've been over probably six times where we're at three, but the shows, I'm telling you, every show was a packed house, and we did this giant festival, HRH Sleaze, and it was huge, and we walked out, and there was 1,000 people out there ready to just go crazy and party, and I think there's something about, and you can tell me if I'm wrong here, but there's something about American bands that just kind of hit hard, and it doesn't sound like UK bands, it doesn't sound like Norwegian bands or Japanese bands, it's just American bands got the swagger to them almost.
The Brits love American bands too,
Yes, they
and they're very welcoming. I'm sure they
do.
treated you very well over there.
They loved us, and they were so nice. Well, like I said, it's third time back, and I really think that was the cool thing, is seeing people that we'd seen or that we'd met the first time we were there that came back every single time, and they were absolutely were welcoming. And even the people that had never met us before, that's kind of a normal thing, you know, when we walk out from the stage with the makeup and everything, and people's jaws just hit the ground. And they go, well, I don't know what we're in store for. We got the rodeos in town. The clowns have arrived, and but it's rock and roll. At the end of the day, Midnight Devils are a great party rock and roll band, and that transfers. Like once they see the show, once they feel the energy, they go, oh, I totally understand what's going on here. I love this.
One thing I notice about the crowds over there, they raise their fists, they jump around, they dance. I don't know, the bands, when I mean, I go to a lot of concerts every week. The people here just stand there and
Absolutely.
listen. I don't know why they don't get so enthusiastic like they do overseas or like in Germany or Italy or, you know, what, I don't know what the deal is.
And I noticed that even, say, Australia, it's kind of the same idea where the style of music, this rock and roll thing, whatever it is so ingrained in their lives and their lifestyles, and it's a part of who they are. I'm not saying Americans aren't like that. But it seems like people overseas wear it on their sleeves and their battle vest, and they came out for that good time. They came out to drink and party and have fun and listen to the songs that they love. And that's like a difference. Like they'll push it into that zone where it gets weird and it gets wild and anything can happen. And that's like a normal Wednesday, Thursday night overseas, where over here you're like, man, it's struggling to pull people out on a work night. And that's kind of the tough thing. How do you tour in the USA when people don't want to go out on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday?
It's packed over there on Sunday nights.
Correct. Yeah, it's every night. Every night the shows are. If you book it, they will come. And that's kind of the old thing. Like if you put it together, they're going to be there because it's so in their culture and in their DNA, it seems like.
Yeah, it's part of their lifestyle, and they have a lot more venues over there than they do here too.
And it's easier to kind of tour smaller countries, you know. And so you can jump country to country to country, where in the US you're driving 8 hours between shows, and it's brutal, and you're just going one state over. Where there you can play so many different places and really kind of cover one entire country in a week or two, where in the US it takes months and months.
Few questions I wanted to ask. I've always wondered, you wear all your makeup.
Sure.
And what are you supposed to be? You're kind of like a medicine man, kind of primitive, kind of what are you supposed to be?
It's really all I can. It's just an idea, and so I my biggest influence is Kiss, obviously.
Yeah.
It's like a no-brainer there. So I thought, you know what? It's been a natural evolution over the years. It didn't always start off with all the white face paint and the pink and the green, and it just seemed to kind of take this natural progression of just more outlandish, more flamboyant, more over the top. And then the idea kind of dawned on me with the Midnight Devils. We are blessed to have this freedom of creativity, and this freedom to kind of do whatever we want and whatever we can think. So with my look and with the guys' looks, that we don't put any limits or any boundaries on it. You do what you want, whatever you feel, however you want to look is great. We're gonna push this thing into outer space. And so you just better be along for the ride. And that goes the same for our fans and for anybody that watches the band. It's this freedom to express yourself and do those things that kind of just pop in your head. So my makeup is all it's all an idea and just something that kind of works. And it makes me feel like I've become Sam Spade, the lead singer of the Midnight Devils. And it goes out there and it kind of gives us that distinction between any other band, where we got the kind of the balls to put on pink lipstick and come out there and tell people, hey, you can either have fun or you can sit in the corner by yourself. Which you want to do tonight?
Just by looking at you guys, the word party comes to mind. And that is, I mean, your shows are very flamboyant. You're in the audience, you're jumping around, you're doing a show. Not only is the music good, you're entertaining people. And
yeah,
that's what I like about seeing you guys.
I really think that that's what people want. And that's something that's lacking. And if you think about it, we're a positive band. You know, we're a positive party rock and roll band that likes
exactly.
to have fun. There's not a whole lot of bands that can safely say, hey, we're a positive party rock and roll band. So we're kind of in this league of our own where we get to build and create anything that we want. And so with the Midnight Devils, we've created these characters. The three guys in the band have become their own characters. We have a mascot who's my cousin. He's the big pink guy, the pink bastard. And then we have this girl character, and it kind of has turned into almost like this cartoon thing where we can do and say whatever we want and do these superhuman things because we're mixing like animation and graphics and comic books and just anything we want to kind of throw out there and be different. And it's cool to sit here. So I'll just sit here in the basement. I did it all last night and just like, where do I want the story to go? Where should the story go? And that's like the coolest thing with the Midnight Devils. We're not just a rock band. There's this really cool story that kind of goes along with it, and it leaves it open to any kind of, where we want to go next. What's the next thing going to be? And that's with this new album. We didn't want to hit. We just wanted to continue touring for the next 2 years. So we had to make the story.
Your videos are the personification of what you just described. They are so funny. And that's the thing. You have a lot of humor.
Yes.
In your shows and your band and your music. And it's great. It's escapism too, mm-hmm. especially during, dark times.
Yeah. And it's totally just an expression of our personality. And that's what it is if we think it's funny, we spend so much time together, the three of us just sitting around. And so it's like, you can either be miserable in an airport just waiting, or you're with your best friends. And so you just sit there and joke. Like, you have enough time to just joke and talk. And that's, I think, where those great ideas come up, is that we spend so much time together talking and joking and just living. You can be miserable, but that's terrible. So with this band, it's always like that tongue in cheek. Everything is funny. And we're kind of making jokes, but giving the power to us as a band, but also to our fans and to anybody that watches the band say, whoa, these guys are doing something completely different. It's 80s hair metal related, but it's not. And you can tell by the lyrics and stuff, like huge AC/DC fans, and the way that Bon Scott and Brian Johnson would kind of craft those lyrics where they would say the most filthy things, but not say them with those words. It's that reading between the lines that I think is great songwriting and really makes people go, okay, these guys are paying attention.
Double entendres,
yes,
totally.
Yes.
Yeah, very sexual innuendos, but you know what? That's rock and roll.
Absolutely. And it's a lost art that not a whole lot of people do anymore.
Good point. And I think that's why it's so fun to go to your shows. It's bringing back that feel of the 80s and the glam rock.
Yes.
And all that. Your makeup, because I'm a female, I want to know.
Yeah, no.
do you use like regular everyday like makeup, or is it special theatrical makeup? What do you use?
We have in Nebraska, we have a costume shop.
Okay.
It's a little mom and pop costume shop. And we'll go there and we'll buy just like before, we'll buy big tubs of clown white makeup. And so it comes in a big tub, it's huge. And it'll cost $14 and it'll last years. And it's great. You put it on and it works with you and doesn't flake off to where the fact that it's uncomfortable to wear. It's really easy to put on, really easy to come off. And it stays on your face during like the hottest of the hot, when you're just
right,
sweating.
Right, because you're sweating like crazy,
right.
And everything.
It's
not, and it's not running. It looks like it's staying on.
Yeah, it does. And so we use a primer, or not a primer, but a sealer powder. So I'll use the white and then I'll seal it onto my face and it right. will stay. And on tour, if we're doing 8 or 9 shows in a row, at the end of the night, I just kind of wash my face off and I go, well, that's pretty much close enough. We'll get, I got to put this makeup back on. And and on the UK tour, we did 9 or 10 shows in a row. But I absolutely love that. That's my favorite thing, is when you just go and you don't even have time to think about it. And you just put the makeup back on. It takes 45 minutes to an hour every single night.
Now, when you travel overseas, do you just bring your guitars and you rent equipment? How is it when a band goes overseas?
Yep, that's exactly what we do, and we're kind of getting really good at this traveling thing, traveling abroad. So you put your guitar, our trick to any musicians that are listening is you put your guitar in a soft case and you carry it onto the plane, and generally for the most part they'll let you carry your guitar onto the plane. They'll buck you a little bit, but you just kind of hold your ground and stand firm, carry your guitar. You carry a book bag full of clothes, and you got about five pairs of clothes. No matter how long the tour is, you have about five pairs of clothes in a book bag, and then we'll carry like all of our merch and stuff in our carry-on roller bags, and that's it. And you just kind of you go the bare minimum and hope that it works. But we still bring our banners and our like all of our props and the balloons and anything that we can fit in a suitcase that's going to put our show over the top.
Yeah, because you guys give out those little devil horns. They're kind
Yeah.
of like fluorescent, so you have to bring all that with.
We bring them all, and we have such a good method. You space bag, you ziplock, and then suck all the air out of everything and pack as much
Vacuum
stuff as you can.
pack. Yeah.
Yep, that's exactly what we do.
Do you put the guitar on the overhead, or do they
Yep.
just, okay.
Yep. For the most part, it'll go. If you're in the US, they'll put it in the overhead. Now, we went to Japan this year, and that's when things got a little bit tricky because the planes are smaller, the overheads are smaller, and they don't have the room. So in that situation, we kind of had to bite the bullet, and we gate checked them right there at the gate, and they threw them underneath the plane, and you just kind of cross your fingers and hope for the best.
Yeah, that's the
Yeah.
thing. I mean, I
Nothing
worry
you can
about
do.
that. Yeah, I mean, that's, yeah, you're at their mercy. Do you have any troubles when you go through like customs and, TSA and all that crap when you bring your equipment?
No, we have not had any troubles yet. The only trouble that we've ever had, the one that we ran into, and I don't know if you've done this yet or not, but we were playing a show, and this was on the very first UK tour. We had to travel from, and I can't even remember the from mainland, not mainland, but England to Ireland, and you had to take the ferry across. And this is right when Brexit happened, so they had to tag and log every piece of equipment that we had in the van. And we're like you said, we had rented all this equipment. I have our passports. We got on the ferry. We rode all the way across. Just terrible. The seas were angry. And we got over, and we're like, okay, we're actually going to make our show in Dublin tonight. And we got pulled over by the customs guys, and they found out there was two American rock bands, and they detained us to search the van in Ireland. And I thought that was one of those moments where I thought we're going to be locked up for sure.
Oh man.
And we made it through, but we missed the show. It took so long that they canceled the show.
That's terrible. Did you go out of Manchester or
No,
Blackpool?
it wasn't. I can't even think of what the it was somewhere in Wales, I believe. So we
Oh,
went from
okay.
Wales and took the ferry to into Dublin. And
Yeah, I saw
it took too long.
you guys played in Buckley, Wales. I saw at
Yeah.
the Tivoli because we cover shows there every once in a while.
Love the Tivoli. We've done it twice there, and what a great room. Is the guy's name Rocky? I think is the owner's name is Rocky. Just this killer venue. And the cool thing about the Tiv is the history. That place has been around forever, and everybody's played there. Motorhead, all these great bands have played at the Tiv.
That's fantastic. I know. One time you were over there, and I was over there at the same time, and I thought, God, I wish I could see you guys. But I was in London, and you guys were, I think it was to the east, like near the water. At
Probably
a,
Great Yarmouth.
yeah, that's it. That's
Yep.
it. And I thought, damn, it was too far for me. But when are you coming back to Florida, to my neck of the woods?
What a great question. Thank you for the setup. So our kind of plan is that we haven't been in the States. We haven't done a whole lot of shows in the States this year, 2024. So we're just down in Florida. I'm like, man, I love it down here. You can still walk around outside. You can still travel. Like, we should tour Florida. So that's kind of our goal is
Well, winter time.
kicking
Come
off
on, it's
2025.
yeah.
We're gonna go down there and probably do a week or two in Florida and kind of cruise through the warmer states to kick off our new year. So early next year.
I hope you come back to Clearwater. You were at
We
Ruth.
absolutely will.
I saw you at Ruth Eckerd Hall, and
Yep.
that's where I first met you guys and everything. I think you played in Jacksonville, but that's like a 4-hour drive for me.
Yeah,
Jackrabbits, you
we
guys
played
were.
at what with Yngwie, and what a night that was.
Yeah.
Holy cow. Yeah.
I
It was a wild show.
I watched you guys and I left after. I'm serious. I don't want to see him.
No, we've done a ton of shows with him.
Anytime he comes to town, he has, I see the warm-up band and then I leave.
Yeah. And he always has good warm-up bands on his thing. And I'll give it to this, like, I'm not a huge Yngwie fan, but he still puts asses in the seats and packs houses, and I think half the reason is people kind of come and want to see if he has like a meltdown. I think that's part of the gimmick. I really do.
Kind of like Corey, what's his name, Feldman, or is it
Yes,
Corey? Yeah,
absolutely.
people go just to see if he's going to freak out or
Yep.
whatever. God, he played at the Token Lounge in Michigan, and I know some friends that were there with him, and he's just freakish. I still haven't seen him live, but.
And you might find this interesting. I'll make this really fast. So we played with Yngwie in Florida, where you saw us. We played a couple shows with him, and he was actually really nice. And we got to kind of meet him and talk to him, and he was approachable. And then we played with him in England in Great Yarmouth at this big festival, and he kind of changed. And it was like you couldn't look at the maestro. You couldn't look the maestro in the eyes. Nobody could be backstage when the maestro was walking around. He had to have his own trailer, and I was like, wait, this is the same guy we just hung out with, you know?
Yeah, it's, I mean, I, that's what I've always heard. He's like a diva. And
Yeah.
so I automatically just leave
Yep.
whenever there's, I always love, like, I'll see the band that the support band, and then I'm out of there.
Yep. It's a whole different level of weird.
And I just don't go for that whole ego thing,
Nope.
I mean, it's just, yeah. Anyway, that my opinion about that. So, you did So Hard It Hurts in 2024. Do you have any more new music coming out that you want to talk about?
Yeah, so we did the So Hard It Hurts down in West Palm Beach, actually.
Oh,
We
you did? I
recorded it,
didn't know that. Wow.
yeah. Oh, in January, we came down, we drove like a minivan from Nebraska, came down and did it in West Palm Beach, at Boynton Beach, actually. But our producer, Rick Browdy, did Look What the Cat Dragged In by Poison. He did 10 Dunes at Double I've Gonzo. And our team that we had was Rick and then Cher Ross from Vixen and Bam Ross from Dogs D'Amour. So we had this killer production team of great engineers and just these people that have the hits. They have the gold records on the wall. We're like writing our songs, like staring up at the Look What the Cat Dragged In gold record on the wall. And I'm just like, no pressure, right? That this is like
Classic,
the
yeah.
most pressure. So we released our first single was called Get Laid, came out July 5th when the album
That's a
dropped. And
fun song.
what a
For
song, yes.
in the video.
The video was filmed here in Nebraska at the strip club that Carrie and I work at. Carrie's my fiance, and just what a party, what a great video. So we thought, let's even push this another level further and let's create a dance remix of Get Laid so that we can play it at the strip club so it's more strip club friendly. And so that's our the next thing coming down the line is Get Laid, the dance remix. And we're going to be celebrating that with like a vinyl 7-inch single.
Oh,
The Midnight
nice.
Devils don't have a vinyl single yet. We have cassette tapes, we have etched vinyl, but this I think would be really, really cool. And it's going to be pink and just crazy and look amazing. But that's the next thing coming down the line is the Get Laid dance remix.
I've been using my turntable a lot lately. There's just something retro and
Oh yeah.
vintage about using the turntable, so I'm looking forward to
Yeah,
that.
and I'll definitely send one down your way. You're gonna love it.
Oh my God, that's so cool. I saw on Instagram, Sniper got married, it looked like.
Yeah, Sniper just got married, so it's a big turning point for the Midnight Devils this year. Sniper locked it down in October, and so that was like we just came off tour. We've been touring for 3 months, probably. We did the whole Australia, Japan, UK, Norway, and then like 2 weeks later, he was getting married, tying the knot, and it was beautiful. We had a blast. It was down in Oklahoma City, and just it's just incredible. And it was, my one takeaway is that I've been best friends with Sniper for 15 years. We played on some of the biggest stages in the world to thousands of people. I've never seen him more nervous. Standing in front of 20 people as his wife was walking down the aisle, he's sweating. Just like, bro, I don't know if I can do this. I'm like, you got this. We've been up against the worst, stranded in foreign countries. You got nothing to worry about. And then that was my biggest takeaway. I love seeing him kind of unnerved.
That is hysterically funny. When I saw that, I thought, God, you guys are on the road so much. When do you even have time to have a personal life? It must be hard juggling, work and personal life and travel. I mean, that's a
Yeah,
lot of
it
pressure.
absolutely is. And but that's part of what makes this band great, or what makes us driven, or what makes us love this music more than anything. And that's really it. We're like huge fans of rock music, where it's like every day, all I want to do is this. All I want to do is talk about rock music and talk about bands and play guitar. So that part I find kind of easy. And you're right, the other part of life, if that's when it gets tricky, and you got to kind of weave in and out with your significant other and with work. And it just, for some reason, I got a great job at a strip club and I work with my partner Carrie, and we just kind of make it work. And that's really what it is like finding somebody that understands you and enjoys the drive. Hey, I'm gonna stay up till 4 in the morning working on CD artwork. Just you can go to bed, I'll be in later. Like stuff like that, where people, then that's it. Finding somebody that you can hang out with. And really, at the end of the day, that's what we want to do, is I just want to hang out and laugh, and somebody that understands my drive and passion for this music.
I totally get it. I'm a night person myself. I go to bed like three. I went to bed at 4 last night. So
Me too.
I do my best work after midnight.
I tell everybody that my creative peak starts at 2 a.m., I feel.
That's when you're in the zone. Yeah, and not some people are morning people. I'm a night person. You are too,
There's
obviously.
nobody's awake. And the thing is, I notice my phone is very quiet, so I can get more work done because nobody's texting me or emailing me. I gotta get this, I gotta figure out. But I do all the writing and everything the same, like 2 in the morning. It just all seems to come to me.
That's when I usually clean a closet. I'll decide 2 in the morning. You get that like burst of energy.
Yeah.
It's like dogs when they have the zoomies. You know how they're running around? That's kind of like what
You're
happens,
like,
I guess.
I couldn't possibly be bothered to get off the couch. But then when you do get off the couch, you're up for the next 4 hours doing stuff.
I totally get it. So 2025, what are some more things or what's in store for us?
Yeah, absolutely. We're going to be in Cincinnati in 2 weeks. We're going to be doing a big show there, Kenny Ozfest 17, this big sold out party. We did it last year. But the kicker is, we're gonna be filming a live video for it. So the next single coming out after the Get Laid Dance remix, we're gonna be doing a live single, a live video. That's gonna be really, really cool. So we're gonna kick off our 2025 tour at the beginning of next year, and we're gonna hit the USA. We want to go back to the UK. I'm just talking to the promoters in the UK right now about setting up what is gonna be our fourth time in 4 years, and I hope we can make that into a reality. We also want to go to Europe, mainland Europe too, Italy and all these places that we've been before, as well as Australia and Japan. So it's just like, if we can just continue, as I said, with this album, I didn't want a home run. You always want a home run, like a big hit. At the end of the day, we don't need that. We just need the continuation of the story. So if we can just keep doing what we're doing, I'm going to be a happy guy. And I know the guys in the band feel the same way.
When you're touring so much, I don't even know how you have time to write. I guess
It
it's when do
it's
you?
interesting because we write, and a lot of the songs that we kind of write are based around what happens while we're on the road. Where everything's kind of based in reality. So I'm like the guy that always has his phone out ready to type up and write the story. Whatever happened to us, good, bad, ugly, I'm still going to kind of log it down and use that as inspiration when the time comes, 6 months or whatever, to write another song. And so that's where all the songs from So Hard Hurts came from the year before touring the UK, Europe, all these places. All those stories, all those song ideas came from being on the road. So it's like the being on tour is the inspiration for writing another rock record.
Bucket list. What would be a bucket list for you to do?
What a great question, because we like this year we got to check off. My bucket list was Japan. That was
there
it. I was a kid growing up in Nebraska. you wanted to do live at Budokan. That was it. And so we got to
You
do
got
that
that
this year. And
right.
I was like, man, what else is there? Like
Yeah.
we've been to the places that we want to go. So my next
In
thing,
Australia, I mean,
Australia,
you've done so much. I mean, what is left?
is to continue and to show the world that it's not just a fluke or not just a flash in the pan, and to really get good at this. And it's one thing to do it. It's one thing to repeat it and get better as the time goes on. And so I think with being on tour, you just kind of get better at that. It's such a hard thing to do, but for some reason I love it so much. Even when it's really, really difficult, I'm like hooked on the whole idea of being a rock and roll band on tour. It's great. So all I want to do is get better at it and just keep doing it and keep releasing records. And we're kind of talking about, I think right now talking to you, my goal is to be a better businessman. And that's the part that was lacking. Okay, cool. We got the show, we got the band, we got the songs. Cool. Let's be a better businessman. And that's like a hard skill to learn. And you don't just pick it up. So really right now I'm pushing the creative front and the business front to kind of match with the all the action that the band's been getting so that we can, build this thing up. And it's like all the good coming in, all the good coming in, and you push that good out.
That's one thing I noticed. You do it all, and that's hard to divide yourself amongst, creative performance and business. That's not easy.
No. Yeah, and it's a challenge. And so I always take it as like, okay, you can you do this? Can you travel? Can you take the Midnight Devils around the world? Yes, we did it. Cool. I didn't think
You
it was
did. You've
possible.
done it.
I'll tell you this, if you had talked to me back in March, I would say, well, we have these massive tours booked. I don't know how we're going to accomplish these things. I have no idea. And we did it, and we got through the other side, and it turned out great. Okay, cool. Now what's the next hurdle that I got to overcome? Okay, I got to figure out how to be a better businessman and make it work monetarily for the Midnight Devils. And there's nobody else that's going to do that except for me. So I think like this is let's log all of our songs on ASCAP. First things first, like we're going to become our own record label. We're going to become our own booking agent. I'm not going to wait for people to help us because at the end, they have their own selfish, their own reasons and everything. I'm just going to do it myself because I know it's going to get done right. And we got a great team behind us, but I think it's like in my head, I think, will the band succeed or fail? How much energy can I put in? I'm going to put in every ounce that I have to make this succeed because I don't want it to fail, and I don't think anybody wants it to fail. So it's like you always find time. I can find time to work on all these projects that I need because I don't want this to fail, and we put so much into it already.
Yeah, it seems like we had this downtime during COVID, and then after you guys got out there and you've been just like zooming up. You've done it all. I mean, you've done a lot in the last few years.
And I'm not done. That's our whole thing is like we're not ready to rest and we're not ready to hang it up or call it a day because I think there's still so much. We got to a certain point, and I think being in a band, you probably talked to so many band guys, it's like you're always on like this wheel, this cog or whatever. I think Nikki Sixx even said that, but it's like it's this eternal hunt and this eternal quest for the next whatever. So you do good and you do good and then you get a level up. Cool, we're at this level. Now we gotta take it. What's the next level coming down the pike? Can we step up and attain that level?
Well, we're almost out of time. Is there
Okay.
anything that you would like people to know before we say goodbye?
Just go check out the Midnight Devils. TheMidnightDevils.com is where you can see all of our amazing merch. We got some of the coolest merch. We have an amazing artist, Livy Ulrichs, who puts together all the graphics and everything for us that just has created. We got brand new hoodies out, t-shirts, patches, all these great things. Most importantly, go to YouTube, check out Get Laid, the music video. It is killer. It was a blast. It's fun to watch. It was fun to film. At the end of the day, that's what this is supposed to be. This is rock and roll. It's supposed to be fun. We're supposed to be having a good time.
Excellent. Well, thanks for speaking to Rocket Knight, Sam, and it's a pleasure, and wow, the time went really fast.
I know
Yeah,
we could have done another 40 minutes. It's
I
always
know. It's
great
just
talking to you.
it's a lot of fun here. So I will see you when you come to Florida for sure.
Absolutely. Early next year.
Good, good, good. Look forward to seeing you guys, all of you. And thanks for speaking with me. I'll see you
Thank you so
later.
much, Reese. I appreciate it.
Okay. Take care. Okay.
All right. Bye.
Bye-bye.
You're listening to Rock at Night.
The introductory song, Get On Down, is from blues artist Billy Bass Alford. Look for his music at ReverbNation.com.